Britain's Nigella Lawson stepped away from her journalism career in 1998 with her best-selling book, How to Eat. Smart, funny, and beautiful, she's a food writer that writes about the pleasures of food and the ways that cooking can be not only delicious, but therapeutic. Her latest book is Simply Nigella, Feel-Good Food. Nigella, great to have you back with us.
Lovely to be back.
You know, looking at this book, and I got involved reading it, and I realized this feels so personal to me, the reader. And there's this pervading sense of calm in the book. This just feels so intimate. It feels like, you know, we're restoring ourselves together. Where did that come from?
Well, you know, I think that writing about food and talking about food is always intimate. I think we all have a very intense and personal relationship with food. And as long as a writer is being honest and authentic, we always sense that. And I enjoy the conversation around food. And because of that, I allow quite a bit of time to talk at the beginning of each recipe so that it's a bit like settling down. You know, I want to settle down with a reader and talk. And in my mind, there's a conversation and a response. But I think all my books are personal, and I do feel that the recipe is for me is a very highly charged autobiographical form. It's like a diary entry. The recipes I cook and then write about, it's almost like writing a journal. It feels like that.
Well, the recipes read like that. You say that when your first book came out, the editor branded it in her mind as being, what was it, the masala?
The pea masala and rhubarb cookbook.
Yes. And you say this one is the cold-pressed coconut oil, ginger, chili, and lime cookbook.
It is, although actually there's an awful lot of extra virgin olive oil, which I regard as the elixir of life.
Well, I have to say, this is a quartet that I, too, am addicted to. Let's talk specifically about some of the things you do with it.
Well, I add it to soups. For example, I've got a sweet potato, orange, and ginger soup, because as much as I adore a sweet potato, I find that unmediated, the sweetness is too much. So citrus and that heat of ginger is just perfect. And I also love the sort of fuzzy nubbliness of an old-fashioned chickpea soup that perhaps is not heavily seasoned. Mm-hmm. I thought I wanted to bring a bit of brightness and light to it. So I added some of the flavorings of maybe like a Thai hot and sour soup. And I again added lime and chili and ginger. And I also found this wonderful way of getting ginger to be even more dominant, which is I peel my ginger and I use a teaspoon for that, because, you know, if you use a knife, you just waste most of the ginger
root.
And then I grated it and then put it in a bit of paper towel and made a little swag bag, like making a tea bag, I suppose, and then squeeze. And this incredibly intense ginger juice comes out. So even though I might grate ginger and put it in a soup, at the end, if I want to add more, I just make this ginger juice. I also use it. You know, I've got a bundt cake that's cider and five spice, so it's a bit like gingerbread, only with slightly more of a perhaps aniseedy licorice note, because the five spice does that, and also an awful lot of fresh ginger. The fresh ginger really adds a different sort of heat. It's somehow rounder.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be used in sweet and savory, and, you know, I have to really think of a reason why not to use it.
You mentioned something that sounds delicious, but something you mentioned about cooking yourself strong.
Yes, I think for me that I find the act of cooking itself restorative, but it has to be very simple, because at times when I'm either overworked or stressed or generally depleted, I don't really want to feel I've got to concentrate so much and worry about whether I'm doing something right. So a little light stirring, maybe some chopping, but generally something that is cooked quickly and I suppose has ingredients in it that make my body feel strong and full of good things. And for some reason, my body told me to eat sweet potatoes, and I obliged. but also quite a bit of broccoli, cauliflower. I started roasting chickpeas and cauliflower. I was already more baking them together. And once you have cooked cauliflower in the oven, there is no turning back.
Right.
And
right.
These simple rituals of just chopping a cauliflower, tossing it in a bit of oil and spices, putting it in the oven, and while that's in the oven, opening a jar of harissa and turning some chickpeas and some sliced up tomatoes, and then adding that.
Mm.
And then I'm getting myself ready. I'm calming myself down. I'm feeling ready for myself. I can smell it. And then I just make a simple warm salad with, I use parsley, like a salad leaf, flat leaf parsley, uh-huh. as a garnish. And then, because I think beauty is important in terms of how one feels in life generally and in the kitchen, a bit of aesthetic uplift never goes amiss. And sprinkling pomegranate seeds and that tang.
Mm.
Again. And not only do I have supper, but I have enough left over for lunch the next day. And that's important too, I think, that we're aware that cooking for others is an act of generosity or kindness, but it's really important, I think, to be generous and kind with oneself. And that, for me, was an essential part of making this book.
Tell me your feelings about the term clean food.
Well, I feel that I sound like I'm getting rabid on this, but I don't like the term clean eating or clean food because I hate the notion that's implied that other forms of eating are dirty or shameful. I hate food shaming. I also think that no one makes a good decision out of negativity, so you make people feel bad about what they eat. It's just going to compound the issue. And obviously, I agree that eating real food and not processed food is good and better for one. But I do feel that a lot of clean eating is too restrictive in its approach. There are so many foodstuffs taken out that it becomes a very narrow-minded and almost self-persecuting way of eating. But I don't really have anything against the food itself. I just don't like it if I think there are punitive implications either mm-hmm. to oneself or to other people. I think that food is there to be celebrated, and by celebrating food, we celebrate life. And if you try and take that away or erode that in any way, then life and oneself, we are both diminished.
Nigella, thanks so much for talking with us.
Always a pleasure, Lynn.
Nigella Lawson's latest book is Simply Nigella, Feel Good Food. She left us with a recipe for warm cauliflower and chickpea salad, and you can find it, you know where, splendidtable.org.